right. Good morning. How's everybody doing? All right. If you need notes, there's one copy of the notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers have some extras they would love to give you. All right. Today, I want to kind of continue on things that Pastor Mike shared last week. He did such an awesome job. Didn't he do a great job last week sharing that message? But I don't know, when you watch the news, pretty much like it seems to me the news likes to focus on negative stuff, and you don't realize how much good stuff is happening in the world today. I mean, from a Christian perspective, God is moving on planet Earth. Exciting things are happening. I wish that every news agency, you know, on the bottom, the little ticker on the bottom would announce how many souls were saved this week all over the world, because God is moving, revival's happening, God's moving in different parts of the world. And we tend to focus on just bad things, but there's some good stuff happening, and there's good stuff happening in Gainesville. 2 weeks ago, I announced to you that, of course, we're Victory Church of Gainesville. We started in Gainesville. We have land in Gainesville, but if you missed the message 2 weeks ago on our 18-year anniversary, please go on the website and watch that, because it's very important. We talked about how that we are determined, our overseers, our elders, our leaders have come together. We're 100% agreement that we want to move back to Gainesville by the end of this year. Now, amen. I announced that 2 weeks ago, and I've only got 100% support from everybody. And I just, as I shared then, I believe that when we put all our faith together, nothing will be impossible to us. And I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I know that when we put our faiths together, it will happen. Are you in agreement with me on that? That it's going to happen. God's going to make a way. And it's awesome, because we need to be where we are the most effective. Also, a couple weeks ago, we had the Perry Plantation Fun Day. First of a kind event that we've ever put on. I think it was a huge success. It was a huge success. I was amazed at the participation, the help, how much everybody jumped in, did something, made it happen. I thought we did an excellent job preparing it. It was so awesome. Our goal was to raise $4,600 to restart our college ministry, which has always been a big part of our church, but we haven't had the manpower to do it for the last couple years. And God put it on my heart at the same time he put it on Michael Crame's heart to resurrect it. And the plan that he had, we needed $4,600 to be able to put a structure on the land. So that was our goal, was to raise $4,600. And we raised $4,600 at the Perry Plantation Fun Day. So our college group will be starting on August 25th on the land. That's the first Friday of the fall semester at UF. That means there's a lot of work to be done. But we believe Michael did such a great job putting everything together for the fun day. He's going to be able to pull it all together and have a meeting on the land. So isn't that exciting? We're going to be able to meet on the land. So our mission, just to be clear, as a church, has never changed from day one. Win souls, make disciples. And that's not something we invented, because that's the Great Commission. So we can't come up with, and there are different ways to do that. I understand that. And every church maybe has their particular slant or focus on fulfilling the Great Commission. But the commission came from Jesus. He didn't ask us to think about, well, what should the church be? No, he told us what it is. It's his body, and it has a mission. Go out and win souls, make disciples. That's our goal as a church. And that's why we want to move back to Gainesville, because we feel like we can be more effective. We can win more souls and do a better job making disciples. Where the people are, in the midst. That's where we start. That's where we feel like where we belong. Hey, I was raised in Micanopy. I didn't start the church in Micanopy. It was intended to be there. This was supposed to be temporary. It's turned out too long. It's time to put our faith together, get back where the people are. Alachua County has some interesting statistics along these lines. The Association of Statistics of American Religious Bodies did a study across the continent, county by county, looking at the demographics. They found, the study reveals that in Alachua County, 60% of the people who live in Alachua County, I think it's a total of 258,000 in Alachua County, 60% claim to have no religious affiliation, no religious desires, no religious beliefs. Nationwide, that figure is 8%. If you take the whole United States, 8% people fall in that category. In Alachua County, 60% of the people answered that question in that way. What does that mean? You're in a great spot. Yeah, you're in a, you know, I thank God for missionaries that want to go to India and Africa and Kathmandu or all over the world, Pakistan, China. Thank God. But listen, we got a harvest field. You're surrounded by people who need Jesus. Do you realize that? Probably if you work in Gainesville, you probably would. We could tell a bunch of stories about, hey, the people I work with, how many would say they need Jesus? How about the people you drive on the street with? How many say they need Jesus? The people in your neighborhood, the people you work with, the people you shop with, we would all say, man, we need a revival. We need a revival. And here's statistically, yeah, here, when you have no belief in God, your priorities in life are completely skewed. Your ability to deal with other people is complete. We need a revival in America. Now, a lot of us are believing for stuff for ourselves, and that's wonderful because I believe God wants to give you stuff. But let's never forget the urgent need of the planet right now is for a Holy Ghost awakening. It's for Jesus to come alive in people's hearts. Has your life changed since you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Are you way better off? Does anybody here want to go back to the life you used to live? I don't. Not for one day, not for one moment, not for one second. I don't want to go back. And think about the people who surround you who have not yet met Jesus. The great, they would tell you if you ask them what their needs are, they give you a long list. And one of them is not, I need Jesus. I tell you. Because the devil has blinded their mind to believing that if they could just get this job or get this person or get this praise or get this promotion or have this thing happening or this house or this boat or this car or this next thing would make me happy. And I can tell you from working in Los Angeles with the richest people in the world, the billionaires, the stuff didn't make them happy. It didn't. It's a lie. But I found out you could have very little and get Jesus in your heart and realize you got everything I need. I got peace. I got joy. So 60% of our county says they're not even interested in God. There's another 10% that say they belong to an other religion other than Christianity. You say, well, that what's wrong with that? Well, here's what's wrong with that. Jesus said, let's just see what Jesus said, John 14:6. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if and I used to believe that. I used to think that when I first got saved. Well, they don't have to be Christian. You know, there's many ways to God. They all lead to the same. You know, that's a very common belief. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Let's see what Jesus thinks about that. Now, you got to believe one of three things about Jesus. He was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Son of God. All right? He was either a liar because he said things he knew wasn't true, or he was a lunatic. He was just crazy. He didn't know what he was talking about. Or he was the Son of God. And if he's the Son of God, then he can't lie, right? John, this is what did it for me when I was in Miami, right after I got saved, and I would meet people. They didn't have the same beliefs as me, but they had some kind of beliefs, and I said, that's great. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and took me to this scripture, and it changed my thinking. Not that I'm against them, but I see what their need is. John 14:6, Jesus talking, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The Holy Spirit took me to that scripture, and when I read that, I went, oh, I see. Because you know what? Religion doesn't save you. Even Christianity doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. He's the only means of salvation. He's the only access to the Father. Not a religion, not a set of rules and regulations, not a determination to do better, not a getting a case of the do betters. I'm going to do better. No. You can't do good enough. We're not perfect. We're fallible. We fall short. Every one of us needs forgiveness. There's only one means of forgiveness. It's not religion. It's not sitting in this service today. It's surrendering your life to Christ. That's what Jesus said. So, amen or oh my. Then there's, they said that 80% of people in Alachua County don't go to church. Now, again, going to church doesn't save you. So that's 20% of our county goes to church. But I guarantee you there's a lot of people who are like me. When I grew up, I went to church, but I wasn't a Christian. I went to a Christian church, but I wasn't a Christian because I never fulfilled the biblical mandate, surrendering my life to Christ, asked him to come live inside and make me a new person. I just went to church. And if you'd ask me, you know, what's going to happen to you if you die right now? I go, I don't know. Are you going to go to heaven? Well, I mean, why not? I mean, if anybody's going to go, I'm basically a good person. Isn't that what most people? I would have said, I'm basically a good person. I've never killed anybody. How many of you, you know, you could say that. You know, I've never killed it. Now, I tried to kill some people. I wanted to. I mean, and it probably wouldn't have been very long before I would have, because I had such a bad temper, and then I wouldn't have been able to say that. But I'd say, well, I'm still pretty a good person, because I only killed one person that really had it coming. We can all justify ourselves, right? And I would have said, I'm basically a good person. But being basically a good person, the Bible doesn't say be basically a good person and don't kill anybody and you go to heaven. It says we all fall short and we need someone to take our sins. No person can do it. That's why Jesus came to earth, to be pure and holy and spotless, to take our place. And it's so simple and it's so easy. It's accepting what he did on the cross. That's salvation. That's what's required. So there's a lot of people that go to church, but they've never done that. So there's at least 80%, maybe higher, that we are surrounded with who need a friend to tell them to the truth. Ephesians 5 says Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. So there's people that maybe they've made that decision and they don't go to church. They really need to be in the body because that's where it happens. That's where you're fulfilled. That's how it's lived out. So what the question is then to us, what are we going to do? These are facts, scientific facts, back it up with statistical data. And you could verify this empirically from your own life, the people you live with and you're surrounded with. You know we are surrounded with people who need Jesus. And it's not like, oh, we're better than you, arrogant. No, we all need Jesus. I need Jesus. So the question then is, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Somebody asked Jesus, tell us what's the great commandment. He said, love God and love your neighbor. And one of the Pharisees said he was trying to trap him. He said, yeah, maybe he felt convicted. And he said, well, who's my neighbor? He was trying to maybe narrow it down. I don't want to love everybody, right? Well, who's my neighbor? That's when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story? He said a guy got beat up, almost dead, left on the side of the road, bleeding. And it said two holy people walked by and left him. And then another guy who's a Samaritan, who was an outcast, that's why it's called the Good Samaritan, he stopped and helped the guy. And then Jesus asked the guy, he said, who was a neighbor to that guy? And the Pharisee said, well, I guess the one that helped him. So who's your neighbor? It's someone who needs help. How many people, what kind of help? Well, people can ask you for all kinds of help, right? And I know you can't help everybody. It's obvious. You know, pretty much everybody needs money. Obviously, we can't meet everybody's, people need all kinds of stuff. But what is everybody's greatest need? Listen, this earth is going to be gone. Everybody is going to face the throne of God. And everybody is going either to heaven or hell. I would say every person on this planet's greatest need is not clean water. I like clean water. It's not a roof over your head. It's not air conditioning. It's not heating. All those are great. And hopefully we can do all that too. But listen, I hope you agree with me. Think about this. What is everybody's? This earth is going to end and eternity is forever. And everybody's going to spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. That's a pretty serious need. I need someone to tell me how to not go to hell and get to heaven. I needed my Aunt Emily to bug me for a year and a half to go to a Bible study to where God could touch me and reach me. I didn't know I had that need. If you ask me, what is your need? I need a new boat. I need a bigger boat. I need a faster boat. I could have told you a bunch of things, but it would not be, I need to escape the fires of hell. I didn't know that. So sometimes we need somebody who knows and to help us, someone in need. There's a lot of people. What's people's greatest need? Heaven, Jesus, a relationship with God. I needed a friend. I had a lot of friends, and I love my Aunt Emily, but I wouldn't say, well, she's one of my friends, but she was the only friend that told me what I really needed to know that helped me change my eternal destiny. How many like to have a good friend? How many want to be a friend to somebody if they have a need? You know, a friend will tell you when you got a booger hanging off the end of your nose. That's a real friend. Come on. I mean, I want to know, right? Have you ever been, can we just get real? Have you ever been like at a party or a meeting or something? You're sitting there and you're talking to people for a long time and you feel something and you reach up there. And, oh, what is that? A big old dry booger hanging on the end. And you think, how long has that been there? Why did nobody tell me I had a booger on the end of my nose? Come on, I know y'all looking at me like it never happened to you. It never happened to you? It's happened to me. It's happened to me. It's like, what the heck? What the? Why did nobody tell me? Like, it's been there for a couple hours, and I'm in this meeting, and I'm talking to people, and I got a booger on the end of my, and nobody telling me? Come on, is that a friend? Just don't want, I ain't going to tell him. He got booger on the end. And I'm meeting all these new people. Hey, this Saturday, I'm going to my 45-year Gainesville High School class reunion. Go Purple Hurricanes. And Rebecca didn't want to go. She didn't like, because she didn't know anybody. So I'm taking my brother Vince and my sister Donna. So we're 71, 72, 73 graduating class. So we're going to have a good time. So hope if I'm standing there, we're sitting at a table with a bunch of people I haven't seen in 45 years, and I got a booger on the end of my nose, and my brother's on the other side of the table, come on, do a brother a favor, help me out, you know, give me some signals, you do something, you know, send me a text, don't just sit there. Let me sit there at a table with people I haven't seen for 45 years with a booger on the end of my nose. You agree with me? Would that be a good brother if he just sat there and let me go the whole party and didn't tell me I had a booger on him? He needs to tell me. Okay, so a friend tells you what you need that maybe you don't want to hear it, but it's okay. He's willing to take that risk, cross that line, and tell me, look, you need to clean your act up. You need to get this together, get some Kleenex, go to the bathroom, do something, get that booger off of your nose. Well, listen, all of you know people, nice people, good people, but you know in your heart, if the world ended right now, they have not made Jesus their Lord and Savior. They're not going to heaven. Listen, that's a lot more important than a booger hanging on the end of your nose. That's some serious stuff. That's reality. You ever been to a funeral? And you're faced with reality. That person's gone. I wonder where they went. You know in your heart it ain't over. You know in your heart when you look at that casket that they're just not non-existent anymore. You know in your heart that there's more to life than that body and that they're still somewhere. You know that. Come on. You've been to that funeral. You looked at that casket and you know if that's the end, that don't make any sense. You know there's reality. You know there's more to it. And have you ever sat there and wondered, I wonder where they are? Listen, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. It's too late to tell them now. They already know. Our opportunity is today with the people that God has put in our life to tell them about the booger on their nose, about what reality is. And I'm so glad we don't have to be an expert. All we have to do is like Pastor Mike shared last week. What did he say? All we had to do was to be a what? A witness. God hasn't called us. He gave the example of the courtroom. He hadn't called us to be judge. Thank God. I'm not people's. I don't have to judge. I don't have to be a judge. I don't have to be the jury. I don't have to be a prosecutor. There's a whole school of evangelism that I've studied and read, and I don't buy into it. And basically, it's you're the prosecutor. You need to prosecute people. I don't believe that. I believe all I need to do is be a witness, and all I need to do is tell what I saw and what happened to me. I love that. Yeah. What do you witness? What have you witnessed? Your life changing. See, that's great. You don't have to be an expert. You don't... If you saw an accident happen, the red car hit the blue car, and they call you in the... They don't ask you if you're a civil engineer. They don't ask you if you're a traffic engineer, if you understand physics and the dynamics of force equals mass times acceleration and which car was going when. No, just tell me what you saw. Tell me what you saw. That's all you have to do in this project that Christ has given us. What happened to you? That's all you got to say. What happened to me? Where was I? What happened? And where am I? What did you see? You saw your life change. Nobody can refute that. You've seen the power of God. Could you tell somebody? Do you have some stories about the power of God? Yeah, I know. We could go around the room and you can tell me experiences even before you knew Christ of the power of God, but especially since you've come to know Christ and now you're more aware of it. You can tell me stories. Can't you tell me about the power of God? Couldn't you tell a stranger that? A friend? A friend who's got the booger on his nose? He needs a little help. Could you just tell him about the power of God? Huh? You say, well, I'm not an apologist, and I'm not. I've preached on UCLA campus, and I felt so insecure and so inadequate because these people are geniuses to get into UCLA. I mean, you got to be smart just to get in. And I'm talking to people working on their PhD, working on their master's, smart people. And they would tell me stuff. They asked me questions. I never even knew there was such a question in the planet. They asked me stuff. I couldn't answer all their questions, but I could do one thing. I'll tell you what happened to me. And they just sit there, and that just blew all their... See, if I get in an argument, I'm going to lose, for sure and certain. I'm going to lose that argument. They're just too smart. But when I told them what happened to me, their mouth drops open, their eyes get real big, and they just look at you. And they're going to go home and think about that. And that's you. That's all you need to know. It's real. They got to call me a liar. And see, but when you tell it because it's true, they know it's true. And they deal with it. They got to think about it. That's all you need to do is have an experience with God to be a witness. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to be an expert. You can read the books. I've read those books. I can't even remember what I read. It's too, Josh McDowell, he's awesome. Rabbi Zacharias, he's awesome. When I hear them speak, I think, that's true. Next day, I can't remember what they said. I'm just not that smart. But I know what happened to me. Come on. Look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus, and he called the 12 together, and he gave them power. Listen, if you want to be a witness for God, if you want to help people, if it's on your heart, if it bothers you and burdens you to know that some person in your life could die, they're going to die, I'll tell you that. Life is 100% fatal. Nobody gets out of this any other way. You're going to die. You're going to die. All your friends are going to die. One way or the other, we're going to die. All right? So he called them together and he gave them power. So you need power. If you want to help your friends, you need power. He gave them power. He'll give you power if you want to do it. And authority over all, how many? All the demons. So how many demons have authority over and power over you? Zero. Because he gave them authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He sent them out. Everybody say, sent them out. See, now he could have called them together and said, look, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. I want you guys to be safe and secure, and I want you to build a monastery, a big, big, thick walls, pack it full of beanie weenies, and get in there and close the gates, and just hang on till I come back, and just stay with you, just be insulated. Don't let the world get on you. Don't get in the world. Just keep yourself from getting polluted, and just build yourself a cage, a cave. Get in there and stay there. And you think, did he tell them that? No. He said, go on, get out. Yeah, it's messy out there. Yeah, the earth is under a curse. Yeah, there's bad people. There's mean people. There's people cut you off traffic and send you signals and signs and talk bad about your mama and all kinds of stuff. So he said, but listen, that's where you belong. That's where I want you. See, a lot of people come, they say, how's that new job going? Oh, it's terrible. I'm surrounded by heathens. I say, that ain't terrible. That's where you're supposed to be. That's where you're blessed. If all you got around you is Christians, who are you going to minister to? Maybe that's exactly where God wants you, giving you the opportunity to be a light in the darkness. Hey, flashlights don't work real good. You know, you go to Walmart and buy that flashlight, and you want to test it out, and it's like, where's the light? No, it's too light. But put it in the dark. Yeah, and then you'll see. That's where your light shines best, in among the darkness. Don't pray for no darkness. Pray for your light to be able to shine in the darkness. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. I think that's something that maybe we take for granted too much. Did you know you could pray for the sick? I'm going to commission you right now, because that's the Great Commission. I'll commission everybody in this room to pray for the sick. Because you know what? You will never see somebody get healed till you pray for them. I can't tell you how many hundreds, probably thousands, definitely thousands of people that I've prayed for that have been healed. But I had to pray for them. And you might be here today. Maybe you might be a lot of people in this room. You've never prayed for somebody who's sick. And you need to be led by the Spirit. Maybe not in every situation you need to step out. But how many times have somebody told you they're sick or they got a problem, and in your heart you know you need to pray and you're afraid to do it? Let me just commission you. Just do it. Just do it. Because God says that's to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff or a bag or bread or money or even two tunics apiece. Why did he say that? Because we overthink it. We say, I'm not ready. When I get the second coat, when I get this, when that happens, you know. And he said, no, don't do that. Just go. Don't come up with excuses. Don't wait for this and that and the other. You're already where you need to be, surrounded by the people that need to hear what you have to say. You're already there. A lot of people are praying for one day to go to Africa, and all the people around them are dying and going to hell. And look, and departing. So what did they do as soon as he told them? They left. They went. Departing, they began going through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. These are not expert healers. They've never done this before. They're just following orders. They're just doing, and doing what? Healing everywhere. Fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary guys, farmers. You pick up the story in Luke chapter 10. It's continuing the same story, same discourse. Jesus said this. He said, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. So first he sends the 12 out, and he goes, what are you guys looking at? Right? That's my version. The Lord appointed 70 others. And what did he do? He sent them. Huh? He didn't tell them that you guys go dig a hole in the ground and hide in case something happens to these 12. I want to have another 70. No, he sent them out. Risk. Taking a risk. Go on. Get out there. He sent them in pairs ahead of him to every place where he himself was to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but you know there's a lot of atheists out there. Is that what he said? The harvest is plentiful, but people are really sinful. The harvest is plentiful, but the devil is really powerful. Is that what he said? No. The harvest is plentiful, but the earth is under a curse. Is that what he said? No. The harvest is plentiful, but, you know, the angels, they just aren't doing their job. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the people are just too stubborn. The harvest is plentiful, but our competition is really strong. You know, Hollywood, drugs, alcohol, partying, sex, media, pleasures, and so forth. The harvest is plentiful, but we got such strict competition. Is that what he said? Don't we make all those excuses? I've heard every one of those excuses. The harvest is plentiful, but people just aren't interested. They're just too busy. People are turned against the church, you know. Is that what Jesus said? What did he say? He said, the harvest is plentiful. Uh-oh. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but it's not all that stuff. It's not the devil's too powerful. It's not people are too busy. The harvest is plentiful. Here's the problem. The laborers, we don't have anybody going out. They're keeping it to themselves. They're hiding it under a bushel. They're praying, God, answer all my prayers. And none of their prayers is for their friends to get sick. It's all the stuff that I need. The laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Can we do that right now? That was Jesus' command. He said, you want to solve the problem? You want to see the world get saved? Beseech the Lord of the harvest. Let's just pray right now. Lord, Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into the harvest. How many prayed that prayer with me? Okay, now watch this. And what? Right after he prayed that, right after he said that prayer, look what happened. Go. They prayed the prayer. God, send somebody out into the harvest. And he said, oh, I'm glad you prayed that. Go. And that's what I'm going to tell you right now. Go. Not right now. Wait till I finish the sermon. You know, but when you leave here, don't leave here just worried about your problems. Here's what I found out. When you solve God's problem, he solves your problem. What's God's problem? He loves people, and he is going to enforce their decision to spend an eternity apart from him and send them to a place that is just that, a place where the presence of God is not, and it's defined by that definition, is hell, it's misery. And he is going to have to do that, and that's his problem, and that's why he's commissioned us to keep people from going to that place. Go. That's what he said. Go. Behold, what did he say? I send you. So I send you right now. I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. We're not supposed to be wolves. We're not supposed to be attacking everybody. You're not supposed to attack people that don't believe like we believe. We don't attack sinners because they're sinners. Come on. Amen. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of seeing that in our own company, in our own ranks, in Christianity, where we're not supposed to attack. We're lambs. Lambs don't attack. They're humble. And that's the way we approach people. I want to help you because you got a booger on your nose. I want to help you because you've got a problem you're not even aware of. You don't even see it. You are heading for a Christless eternity that you are not going to enjoy forever and ever and ever. Let me help you change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Lambs in the midst of wolves. Again, he says, don't worry about money and shoes and that. You just greet no one on the way. Just do it. Don't get distracted. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what's set before you. It's simple. Just do it. Heal those who are in it, who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Like Pastor Mike shared last week, he shared with that guy, said he was an atheist, but he had a torn Achilles tendon, and God healed him. Yeah, now he's got to think about it. He was convinced God's not real. Well, he's enough of a scientific mind to know something supernatural happened. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. Listen, I know the fear of rejection. I understand that. You know, that's one of my greatest struggles is insecurity and to speak to people, to preach on campus, to stand up. Yes, it goes against something on the inside of us. There's a fear of rejection. But what he's saying, if they accept what you said, they accepted me. And if they reject what you said, they didn't reject you. They're rejecting me. So you're doing it in his name. If they don't want to hear it, you did your part. But you might be moving them one degree, like Pastor Mike showed us last week, those 10 degrees, 10 different positions. And you just might move them one position until they pray that prayer, and then they grow. They reject me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Don't be afraid of the demons. He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you. You want protection in this world? Go do the Father's business. But my city is cursed. Yeah, the whole world's cursed. Come on. I had a guy tell me that, a pastor one time said, oh, it's so hard in my city. My city's cursed. Oh, you mean mine's not? Yeah, they're all cursed. The curse came from the original sin in the Garden of Eden. The curse came on the planet. That's why Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us. Don't use that excuse. People can't curse you. They can't. Well, somebody placed a curse on me. So what? God took it off of you. Yeah, but that city's cursed. That place is that business. No, it's not if you're there. You could go, you could buy a house and somebody said, that house is cursed. Not if I walk in it. Amen. Not if I own it. Not if I buy it. Because Christ redeemed me from the curse. Right? The demons are subject to you. They have to obey. All right? And it goes on. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. What's even more important than the spirits being subject to you? Rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Why? Because that's the booger on your nose. That's the big deal. That's the thing you got to watch out for. That's so important. Where are you going to spend eternity? Rejoice that your names are in heaven and you want to get other people there. And look at this. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. He had himself a party. Why? Because they built themselves a cave to go down in there and hide? No, because they went out and stuff happened. and they shared the gospel. This is the only place where it says this. He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit at them just going out and being a witness. That's all he wants. You don't have to go to Africa. You just, when the Holy Spirit prompts you and you feel like, oh, just do it. Just do it. Here's some takeaways from what I've told you real quick. Real victory in life comes from being a soul winner. You're praying for victories in certain areas of your life. Check this. Are you being a soul winner? Say, well, no, you know, I come to church. I do my part. I tithe and I help. And all that's very important. But it's not more important than being a light in the darkness wherever you're at. Real victory in life comes from just heeding the call of God moment by moment. And that's all you really have to do. It's words. It's words. It's speaking the words of life. Words of life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if I know words of life to give and I don't give them, they're staying in death. You have to do it. Be part of a team whose mission. You say, well, I don't really know how to lead people to Christ. I do. Bring them to church on Sunday. You know, actually know how to do it. All you got to do is get them here. And we'll give them an opportunity. Every Sunday, I give people an opportunity. And 1,953 times in the last 18 years, people have brought somebody. And they, isn't that amazing? 1,953 times that happened. And it'll happen this week, and it'll happen next week. And then when you bring your friends, there's a real good possibility that they're going to pray that prayer. There's protection there. There's power there. There's healing there. When you start being a spokesman for God, there's authority, there's fulfillment. Romans 14 says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want righteousness, peace, and joy in your life? Advance the kingdom of God, and you'll experience that. Now, here I'm going to give you five liberating facts, and we'll be done. Five liberating facts that are filling the blanks in your notes. Number one, you don't have to know everything. Isn't that great? You don't have to know everything. You only have to know what happened to you. Number two, you know what happened to you. You know what happened to you. Do you know what happened to you? Then you're equipped. You're ready. That's it. You know what happened to you. That's all you need to know. Number three, don't be afraid to pray for people. If you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pray for somebody for whatever, the Holy Spirit says, pray for them. What I've learned, just do it. If I sit there and think about it, I won't do it, and the opportunity will be gone, and 5 minutes later, I'll realize I should have done it, and now it's too late. They're gone. It's over. How many have ever experienced that like me? You know, think it, well, I don't know, and then by the time I realize it's God, it's too late. They're gone. You know, where'd they go? Dang, nabbit, I'll do it next time. And so that's to just say, okay, next time the Holy Spirit tells me pray for somebody, just pray for them. Number four, don't be afraid of demons or curses. A lot of people, well, if I start doing that, you know, the devil's going to be mad at me. Listen, the devil's already mad at you. And he says protection comes when you go out and do what he told you to do. That's where the protection is. Number five, here's another verse, Luke 10. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will injure you, okay? That's what Jesus said when he sent them out. He said, don't worry. They can't kill you. They tried to kill Jesus before his time. It didn't work. It didn't happen. One time they were going to throw him off the cliff. He said, just slip through the crowd. See? He's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. Number five, there's a reward for winning souls. Matthew 10, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Number six, joy comes from building the kingdom. You want more joy in your life? Build the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. Luke 10:21, at that very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were advancing the kingdom, because they weren't afraid. They did what he told them to do. They went. They didn't wait till everything was perfect. They just went. He just told them, and if you'll just, you're going anyway, take him with you. Share him with people. I'm not even asking you to go someplace that you don't already go. I'm just asking you to be open to the Holy Spirit, just to open your mouth, take advantage of the opportunities that he's already given you. Some of those people that you're praying that God will give them a promotion or get them out of there or raise or finally get out, maybe you're the only light that they will ever see. Maybe they're there for you to share with them because they, listen, I was a heathen. I wasn't a nice person. I mean, kind of, but boy, I could do some mean things. I could do some bad things. I wasn't looking for God, but I had someone who saw something better, who saw a better future for me, a better destiny. I am 100% convinced I would not even be alive today. I'd be already in hell if someone didn't take the time to tell me that there was something else in store for me for my life. There's people in your life. There's something better for some people in your life than what they're going through and what they're living right now. And who's going to tell them? Maybe you're the one that's supposed to tell them. And I believe you're going to be very glad when you get to heaven that you just took that opportunity. I mean, a lot of us can look back and say, you know, I missed that opportunity. I didn't say something. Let's not have that happen anymore in our life. Let's just, from now on, from this day forward, let's take advantage. Let's just pray. Let's just bow our heads. I know this is kind of a sobering word, a heavy word. I don't mean to be heavy. I don't mean to be hard. But I believe that if we listen to these words of Jesus, that he in love wants us to be fellow workers, co-workers with himself. There are people in your life. Just think right now. There are people in your life that need to hear what has happened to you. There's going to be new people in your life this week, next week, the coming week. There's going to be people that you run across that you're going to run into. They need to hear. You don't have to be an expert. Just tell your story. Just tell your story. It's the only story you got, but stick to it. It is your story. It is true. It happened to you. Maybe it's in progress. Yes, it is in progress. You're a work in progress. And the devil comes and says, yeah, but, you know, you're still a mess. Yeah, me too. God's still working on me. I don't know about you. He's still working on me after 42 years. God is very patient. He's working on me. But don't let that keep you. Don't wait. Like he said, don't wait for two tunics and two bags and, you know, all this. Don't wait till you have it all together, because you actually never, ever get it all together. You're on a journey. You're in a process. In the meanwhile, you'll actually grow faster when you start telling people what happened to you. And I want all of us right now just to say that prayer in our heart, like, use me, Lord. Send me, Lord. The command is still the same. Go. Go. The last words of Jesus after he rose from the dead and he gathered them together, he said, go. Go into all the world. Don't stay here in Jerusalem. Go into all the world. Go to Gainesville, he said. He said, go to Gainesville. They really need it over there in Gainesville. Go to Gainesville. Go to Archer, go to Newberry, go to Alachua, go to Micanopy, go to Rochelle, go to all the world, the farthest part of the earth. Go to Publix, go to the gas station, go down Main Street and 13th and 34th, and go wherever you go, go. Tell people. God's going to put people in your path. Just open your mouth. Let's just pray. Lord, just remind us in the we make a decision right now that we want to open our mouth. Yes, I am fearful at times. I'm afraid. I feel I'm going to be rejected. People aren't going to understand me. But Lord, I'm willing to overcome that because the demons are subject to me. And I tell those demons of fear right now, get under my feet. You're done. You're finished. You're not going to keep me from telling people the goodness of God. I'm going to open my mouth when I have an opportunity. I'm not going to preach to them for 5 hours. I'm just going to tell them what happened to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you prayed that prayer with me and you're determined to start opening your mouth like never before? Just slip up your hand real quick. It's awesome. That's awesome. Lord, you see these hands. Send power into their heart, into their mind, into their body, into their soul, to not fear, but to open their mouth. Put the words in their mouth, Lord. Let it come out of their heart. Let the love of God flow out of them to the world around us that's lost and dying and going to hell. Help us to be lambs in the midst of wolves. Show us how to be lambs and not be wolves, not be predators. We're not trying to take advantage of anybody. We're not sharing the gospel with people because of what they can give us, but what you can give them. Help us to be lambs, to be humble, and just admit, hey, I'm as messed up as you are. And God changed my life, and I'm on a path to victory, and I want to help you get on that same path. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for everybody here, and that is this. If you died right now, would you you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here, you say, I don't know, think so, hope so, not sure. That's a very important consequence to be leaving a chance. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. And the guy said, what does that mean? And he said, simply, it comes a time in your life. You surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today, you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not walking with God, and I want to get back on track with God. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But with every head bowed, if that's you, just a sign of your determination, just slip up your hand real quick and say, it's a new day, it's a new start. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I want to be sure if I die tonight, I go to heaven. Thank you. Anybody else? Fresh start, new start. You can trust him with your life. Anybody else? All right, right where you're seated, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help him. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. This day forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Praise God. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on the connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'll send you.